Right, we're on. Excellent. It's good to see you guys here. It's fun to be here. This is different. I want to welcome you to our Good Friday service here at Summit View, and we are going to be sitting in the discomfort of Good Friday, as you guys are experiencing literally. For those of you who are sitting on the ground, thank you for joining us. We're doing something a little different. We want to bring a little contrast to Friday and Sunday this weekend, and we're really kind of looking at that theme of our bodies and the brokenness of our bodies and the hope that Jesus offers us. So as you can tell, things are different. In case you didn't notice, we're meeting in the gym tonight. We're sitting on the floor. The setting is dark. And even what I'm going to be leading us in would not be it's not a typical sermon. It's going to include some extended scripture readings. We're going to have a section at the beginning that includes a little bit of reflection. And then towards the end, we're going to move into communion, which is really going to kind of be the center point here for tonight as we remember what tonight's all about. As I've reflected on it, we can't come into Good Friday without recognizing where we've been out the last 2 years. The last 2 years have reminded us that our bodies and our world is more fragile than we realized. Death is more familiar than it was 2 years ago, for at least many of us. And so we're reminded of the brokenness of our bodies. Oftentimes, our broken bodies leave us disappointed. And so it felt on Good Friday, 2,000 years ago, when the followers of Jesus were surprised and disappointed that the one they thought who was going to be the Messiah, the one to rescue them, was dead and buried. But what if the brokenness that we experience in our bodies, even the brokenness we're experiencing tonight, is intended to grow our longing for the salvation that Jesus is going to bring? So on our journey tonight, let's begin by looking at some scriptures that remind us of our brokenness. So I'm going to read some scriptures, and I want you just to let these wash over you, and then we'll move ahead. From Psalm 103. For the Lord knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. From Genesis. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. From Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Do you resonate with the theme of those scriptures? Is your body groaning in brokenness tonight? Are the bodies of loved ones near you groaning in brokenness? I want you to imagine with me for a moment what it would be like to live in a world where there was no sickness. I'll give you a few ideas, and then I want you guys to pepper some ideas in here. This will be interactive. A world without sickness. No headaches. No scratchy throats. No COVID. No cancer. What comes to your mind? What would a world be like without sickness? A little louder. No back pain. Yep.
No masks.
No masks. Yes. What else?
No shingles or chicken pox.
No mental illness. No shingles, no chicken pox. Let's do a few more. What else?
No wheelchairs.
Yes.
Good knees.
Good knees.
No broken bones.
No broken bones. Healed teeth.
Real teeth.
Okay.
No quarantine.
No quarantine. Yes.
No prescriptions.
I heard a few more. Yep.
No disgusting medicine.
No disgusting medicine. Yes. Yes. Well, thanks you guys for helping me. Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be so amazing. The Romans 8 passage that we just ended with hinted that at one time, our bodies weren't broken and they weren't sick. And it also gives us the hope that one day it will be like that again. So let's look at the story behind why our bodies are broken and even why our brokenness is intended to increase our longing. So the story begins in a beautiful garden of paradise. And God is there. And he likes to work with his hands. And he wants to make the crown of his creation mankind. And so he gets down in his knees and he gets his hands in the dirt. And he forms the first person, a man. And then he breathes a life-giving spirit into him. And then later that same day, he makes the first woman. And life is amazing. They get to build things. They get to plant in the garden. And their bodies are great. There's no sickness. They feel strong. They're not hindered by any pains, any back pains, any knee pains. No allergies, no colds, no COVID, no cancer, no weakness, no aches, no migraines, no handicaps, no strained muscles. Just strong, capable, nice bodies. And had there been a doctor there who could give them a checkup, they would have received a perfect bill of health. Nothing wrong with them at all. Wouldn't that have been amazing to live in a world without sickness? And then at that point, God gave them one simple instruction. He said, hey, there's this one tree over here. You can eat from all these other ones, but this one right here, I want you not to eat from it. And it's a test for your hearts to see if you love me. And he warned that if they decided to eat from it, the consequences would be horrific. He said this, you may surely eat from any of these trees in the garden, but this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. We're familiar with this rebelling against God, this idea of sin. And sadly, the first man and woman with perfect bodies without sickness chose to rebel against God. And the whole creation was thrown into upheaval. And everything changed. And so at that point, God subjected creation to a curse in hope. And this is what he said. He said to Adam, because you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And so God cursed creation. He cursed the ground, including our bodies. And now these bodies that were made to be healthy and strong were now susceptible to sickness, and one day even to death. To dust you shall return. At least in this culture, it's not common to really think about death that much. It's taboo. We like to put it off to the corner of our minds and not think about that reality that one day will be our turn and our bodies will give out and we'll die. Every time you experience a pain in your body, every time something is off, God is speaking. He's speaking through your body a message that reminds you that one day, you two are going to die. You're going to return to the dust. I read a practice in the ancient Roman world that when a general would be victorious in the battlefield, he'll come back for what's called a Roman triumph, And that sometimes there was a slave who would stand behind him and in his greatest moment of triumph would whisper in his ear this phrase, "Memento mori. Memento mori. Remember that you will die." In that moment of all his strength and all his pomp, he was reminded, remember, one day you're going to die, to keep him from doing something crazy. Now, I believe that in the same way that that slave whispered into the ear of the Roman general, so our ailments, whatever is ailing you tonight, is whispering to you and reminding you, one day you'll face death. Remember, one day that you will die. And so really, all of us in here, all of us are terminal, regardless of how old or young you are. And so do you allow the brokenness of your body to remind you that one day you will return to the dust? But the story doesn't end there. And the brokenness actually is intended to lead us to hope. It's intended to lead us to hope. Romans 8 tells us that God caused futility to enter the world in hope of something. I could use help with a slide here. I'm going to put up these verses from Romans 8 for you to look at here. It says the creation was subjected to futility because of him who subjected it. That's God, in hope of this amazing salvation he was going to bring about. What kind of salvation? It says it at the end. One where we eagerly await for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. The hope of a future salvation, a salvation that's like an adopted as a child kind of salvation, but not just that. It's also a redeemed bodies kind of salvation. It includes a body with a new body, a glorified body, like the ones we just heard about in Genesis, a body that would never die. Now, this means that in this time, everybody, regardless Christian or not Christian, we all have broken bodies. It doesn't matter, because this element of salvation is still yet to come. We're still waiting to open up this present that God has for us. And so I'm going to leave that unresolved, because we're going to pick that back up on Sunday and find out more about the hope of a redeemed body that God promises us through his salvation. But for now, I want to give us a chance to reflect. And Sebastian, you can come on up. We listen to a lot of things, but we don't often slow down and think on it. And so I just want to give you a few minutes, a few moments here, just to take in what we've been talking about and reflect for a moment on these things. I even have a few prompts for you. To look at your own body and its groaning, to be reminded that one day you too will die, and so will I. And to allow that groaning to increase your longing for the kind of salvation that God will bring, the redemption of our bodies kind of salvation. So let's just take a few minutes and meditate on that. Thank you. God, we long so much for that day when our bodies will all work again. Everything will work. The whole world will be filled with people with bodies that work. We just thank you that you offer that kind of salvation that even redeems our bodies. We love you and we bless you and pray this in your name. Amen. Well, in order to offer us a salvation that would also include our bodies, God had to get to the root issue, and the root issue was to deal with our sin, our rebellion, our sin that would result in death. It would cost a human life, a perfect human life. And so because there is no human who is perfect on earth, no one who could fit the bill, Jesus, the Son of God, took on human flesh. He entered the creation that he had subjected into futility. He entered a world that included suffering for him too. And he lived a perfect life. And he offered his body to be broken as a sacrifice for sinners that trust in him. And so now I'm going to read to you a compilation of Good Friday scriptures. And as you listen, I want you to personalize this sentence from Jesus. And we can put that up here. Jesus said, right before he died, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." So as you hear these scriptures, I want you to think about this theme throughout all of them. "This is my body, which is broken for you." From John. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." From Hebrews. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook in the same things, that is, flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people." From Matthew. "So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, 'I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves.' And all the people answered, 'His blood be on us and our children.' Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified." Isaiah. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." From Matthew. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him. And lost my spot here. They spit on him and put a scarlet robe on him. And kneeling before him, they mocked him. And they struck him with a reed. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of his robe and put on his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry the cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with myrrh. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling for Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. From Hebrews. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter by the holy places, by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with a heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." From 1 Peter. "For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh." Jesus went through all of that for you. He went through all of that for you, becoming human, living a perfect life, being falsely accused, being scourged, being mocked, being spat upon, being crucified. He did it for you. Through Jesus' broken body, we are offered forgiveness of sin and restoration in our relationship with God. Now, even though Good Friday leaves us unresolved with regard to our bodies, what's going to happen? We do know this for certain. Through this event, Jesus offered us the chance to be clean and to be close to God. And so I wonder tonight, does anyone here feel dirty? Come to Jesus, who wants to cleanse you of everything that makes you dirty. Is anybody in here dying tonight? Come to Jesus, who freely offers eternal life. Is anyone in here hurting tonight? Come to Jesus, who wants to heal you of all your sufferings. Is anyone in here feel far from God? Come to Jesus, and he will bring you close to God. This good news is available for us tonight. It's available for all of us. If we acknowledge our sin, we just believe that Jesus died in our place. It was his body instead of ours. Have you ever made that decision before? Tonight could be the night you make that decision. Or even if you've believed that for many years, I want you to walk away tonight feeling and sensing that Jesus did it for you. He did it for you. His body was broken for you. Paul reminds us in Galatians, he said that Jesus loved him and gave himself for him. Jesus died for the masses, he died for the nations, but he died for individuals with names, with faces, with broken bodies that he cares for. And so tonight we are going to lead into a time of communion and ushers, hospitality. I could use your help. We have the communion back here in the kitchen. And we're going to do a little bit of something different here to help us set in this. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians when Jesus told us what communion is. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took a cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then Sebastian, you can bring one of those trays up here too, wherever you're at. Do this in remembrance of me. So Jesus wanted us to do something important. This is what I want you to take away. It's not enough just to know the historical facts about Jesus. He wants you to personalize the facts. He wants you to personalize it. So Sebastian and I are going to show you how we're going to do this here before we pass it out. So everyone keep your trays there if you got them. All the bread is gluten-free tonight. So everyone, you're set. So what I want to do is I want to personalize this, and I want you to grab this if you're the first one, and I want you to go to somebody, and I want you to look them in the eye, and what you're going to do is this. You're going to say, "The body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you." And then you can pass it along, and we're going to hear a chorus of those words in this gym. And so before we pass them out, let me tell you the rest of the announcements here for tonight. We're going to move into communion. After that, there's going to be something special. We're going to have a dance here. Not everybody, just some people. and then we're going to end in silence. Something different. We don't normally do that. We're a very social church. We love to chat. But we want this room to be a place where we can reflect. And we can let these truths sink in a little bit deeper. Personalize them if you need to. If you want to talk with your friends, that's fine. But afterwards, you can head out the doors and maybe chat outside. But the service is going to end in silence. I'm not going to come back up. I'm not going to dismiss. There's not going to be a final prayer. That's going to be the end. But I will announce that all of you are personally invited. Sunday morning, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Come at 9:30. Come wearing all your bright colored clothing. Come ready to celebrate and see the resolution and comfort we find in the resurrection of Jesus and the hope it offers us and our broken bodies one day to be redeemed. So let's pass around that, and here's your cue for what you can say to the person next to you. If you're not sure you've trusted in Jesus, feel free to just sit and watch and observe.